Blog Talk Radio.
Was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. So it's good to be here. We thank God. Just another day that the Lord has kept us, and we thank him. We're here in the land of the living. So it's good to be here one more time on Blog Talk Radio. So I ask, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? We know there are a lot of believers. So it's just good to be here. We'd like to welcome all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Facebook friends, all of our Blog Talk friends, and all of our Twitter followers to Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. So thank God that we're here, and we're just about halfway of half of December is gone. So we know the year is just virtually gone. At the end of this month, 2017 is just about history. So we're thankful to be here on the day, December the 13th, 2017. And so should you desire to call in, we definitely welcome you to, you're welcome to do so. And our call-in number is 929-477-2285. That's 929-477-2285. You are welcome to call in. Should you have a comment or a question as pertaining to the lesson, you are certainly welcome to do that. We want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we thank God for that. None other than the word of the Lord, which St. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, letting them know who they were and their position in Christ. So, we need to have the word of God. We cannot live by bread alone, as the Lord said, but by every word of God. Another writer says, by every word, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So again, we say welcome, and it's so good to be here today. And I just thought that I would do something, because I've actually I still am affiliated and a member of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, which is a religious organization that I've been a part of all my saved life. And so I relocated. And so we have churches all over the world. So I relocated just about a year ago in the state of Florida. And so my membership, I belong to Vision Worship Center now in Pompano Beach, Florida, and my pastor is Bishop Kevin Chandelou. And so should you be in the South Florida area, I would like to invite you to our worship service. So we're located at 1071 Northwest 31st Ave, B5, Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069. That is Vision Worship Center, 1071 Northwest 31st Ave, B5, or Building 5, Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069. So your worship, you're welcome to come and worship us at Vision Worship Center. So thank God that for that ministry that I was able to find, and it's not far from where I live, and I'm grateful to be a part of the ministry that is Bishop Worship Center, where the Bishop Kevin Chandelou is the senior pastor. So thank God for that. So as we move on here in our lesson, knowing that our ongoing title is The Godhead, and so we're still in our series that we have called Only Believe. So part three, Fellowship with the Father. And so, like I said, should you desire to call in, should you have a question or a comment, you are welcome to call in 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. So we have been going through the epistles of John, and like I've said, he wrote St. John. He wrote the first, second, and third epistle of John, and he also wrote Revelation, or the Revelation of Jesus Christ. So we're continuing on, and we last couple of weeks we've been talking about fellowship. So we're continuing on through the first epistle of John, talking about fellowship. And so it's so important to have fellowship with the Father, because everybody don't have fellowship with the Father. And so many people, even today, nowadays, all of a sudden, this only happened like a few years ago, all of these people claiming to be apostolic and claiming to have the apostolic mantle. Well, I don't know where they got that from. Ain't nobody got no mantle nowadays. That was back in Elijah and Elisha's days. But now we have the Word of God. We are in the New Testament church. They never talked about that. The apostles, and especially St. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, they didn't talk about no mantle. They talked about the Word. He said, the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, he says, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. He's talking about none other than the Word of God. In Ephesians 2 and 20, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So that's what's important. That's what's paramount. Not all of this so-called, these people making themselves some great one in their own little feeble way to talking about a mantle and all of that. No, we got the Word of God. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So this is what we need. Not all of this fancy stuff and people are vaunting themselves and to be something that they're really not. And then you're not apostolic if you're not doing what the apostles said do. And I mean, you got to be born again. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you can't see it. You can't understand it. You can't perceive it if you're not born again. And you got to be born of water and of the Spirit. So water, the baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Joel 2 and 28, shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. So this is the latter day rain. So already got the former rain. This is the latter rain that is being poured out on God's people. He's pouring out the Holy Ghost. And just like Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and he was saying about, talking about the Holy Ghost and the promise of it. And so, and he was saying, it's to you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And he exhorted and testified with many other words and told them to save yourselves from this untoward generation. So when you read through the book of Acts, you see what the apostles did. So that's actually the gospel, the salvation book, the book of Acts, because in is only one gospel. There were four gospel writers, and all of the gospel writers had their perspectives of what they saw because they were eyewitnesses. But they were under the law. So Jesus was saying, it had been said, but I say. Three words to change everything, but I say. So he was pointing to a new and living way. And after his death, burial, and his resurrection, that's what he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to give his life a ransom for many. Like he said, no man take my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. So he came to give his life. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, which simply means in the mind of God, in the foreknowledge of God, it already happened. Because his counsel shall stand, he said, I would do all my pleasure. So he already said in Isaiah 46, 9, 10, and 11, remember the former things of old? I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me, as he goes on to say, declaring the end from the beginning. In ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all of my pleasure. So he goes on, calling a ravenous bird from the east, a man that executed my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. So what he has said, he can't lie. He swear by no greater. He swear by himself. So whatever he said, he's going to bring it to pass. As he said, I will work, and who will let it or who will hinder it? Nobody can stop him from doing his work. So he came and he made himself a body. And so you can read about that in Psalms, the 40th chapter and the 10th chapter of Hebrews. So he prepared himself a body. He is the Lamb of God. That's why John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So he came into the world that he made. He is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Government shall be upon his shoulders, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. So behold, the angel, a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. So that's what it's all about. And that's not like what's going on in this so-called Christmas story, and people be talking about the real meaning of Christmas is Christ. No, it ain't. Real meaning of Christmas is a pagan holiday, and real meaning of Christmas is they're making money. There's no connection between Christ Mass and the birth of Christ. Christmas and the birth of Christ is two different things. You don't read about Christmas in the Bible. Santa Claus and eight tiny reindeer and all that foolishness. that's ridiculous is what it is. And so people going out, because, I mean, it would be what a shame if it's my birthday and everybody is talking about celebrating my birthday, but I don't get a gift. That's ridiculous. It makes no sense. So we thank God. Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So this is why we want to go right back to what we are talking about, fellowship with the Father. And so many people, as I said, I haven't lost my thought. These so-called, they're even calling themselves apostles, and all the apostles are dead. They've done their job. Like I said, they were eyewitnesses. They were chosen personally by the Lord. They were eyewitnesses. They walked with him. They were personally taught by him. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. They laid the foundation, wrote the New Testament scriptures, and they died horrible deaths, all of them, except for John. We call him John the Revelator. That's why he had to live, so he could be in the Isle of Patmos for a testimony of God. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and so he had to write the things which are were then and which shall be hereafter, he wrote. So we have talked about that at times. We have mentioned things in the book of the Revelation. So on today, we're continuing in our fellowship with the Father. So everybody don't have fellowship with him. You don't have fellowship if you're not born again. That's simply a simple way to put it is people think that they can just go through the motion. Works are not going to save us. We're not working to be saved, but we are working because we are saved. So by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, as he says in the book of Ephesians. So, but God, who is rich in mercy, he saved us. He gave us his grace, and he still gives us his grace. And that's why he is the great high priest. He told us that, therefore, as the Hebrew writer says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So he'll give you grace when you need it. So our confidence is in him. So as we go on here today, we want to talk about believe not every spirit, try the spirits, whether they are of God. So like I said, it amazes me because I've been in church a number of years. You didn't used to hear all of this stuff. Then the bad part about all of this is the real apostolics don't have the gall, don't have the backbone to say something when they have a platform to say something. And you know, another term they use, and they're flowing in the prophetic, like, where did that come from? There's only so many prophetic prophets. They speak prophetically. Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, the ones that do, whichever ones are the prophetic prophets, they are the ones that speak prophetically. Nobody else, if we say what they say, we can say, yeah, he's speaking prophetic. And this is his word, not us. But in the church, there are gifts of prophecy, various gifts in the New Testament church. But ain't no, you know, flowing in the prophetic. That's crazy. That makes no sense. These people don't have the backbone. They are not courageous enough to challenge that foolishness. And, you know, I see this, I see that. You don't see nothing. The word is what, how we're going to cleanse our ways. The psalmist says, by taking heed according to thy word. So, they've made turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. And like Jude said, and everything is linked to money. you know, so-called seed and all that, which money is never a seed. Seed ain't never turned into money. Money never turned into a seed. That's stupid. That's stupid is what that is. But, you know, and you can't buy a blessing. You never can't, never could, and you can't now. So they're just, you know, like somebody said, soul hustlers and ecclesiastical pimps. So they're hustling people and turning everything into money, you know, and got nerve to have an iron fist in their own little way. I saw this false prophet that was on this one particular program, and then they actually were doing the Facebook Live. He asked for a certain amount of money. So, you know, I don't know where he came from. I never heard of him. And then he said, if you don't have it, ask somebody for it. I mean, that's ridiculous, because the things that they do and the stuff that they come up with, you know, is to make people feel bad because they don't have the money that they you need to put this in there so you can be blessed. That is stupid. Like I said, it's almost like they're making a casino out of the house of God is what they do. They ain't making one out of him. But in the name of the Lord is what they're doing. So John writes here as we continue on. So before we had wrote and we were going through the third chapter, and we were talking about loving one another and our fellowship actually from the very beginning. So we would pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. And whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So we go on here. And so I mentioned on last time that they've even come up with a saying, you know, I love everybody. No, you don't. You don't know everybody. God don't love everybody. Case in point, he said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. So that is, you got to know what is going on. So thank God for his word. The answer to everything that we need is in the word of God. And so that's why we need to search the scriptures. Seek ye out of the book of the law. So it's in the word of God. You know, there are doctrines of men. These people are making up this stuff, you know, and I remember one time I saw someone on Periscope broadcasting on that live on the on Periscope. Anyway, it's audio, a video. And so I said, you can't buy a blessing. He kept ignoring me because he was asking these people, mostly women, were on his Periscope. They call it his scope. And they were, you know, he asked for a certain amount of money. So finally, I don't know how many times, God knows how many times, because I forgot that I kept saying you can't buy a blessing. So finally he read it and was saying you can't. So I'm saying hopefully somebody got a hold of that, like, you can't buy a blessing. So in other words, you don't put your money in there. I believe it was $30 he was asking for. Then you didn't miss out. Because that's him asking for that money, putting it in his PayPal, whatever vehicle that he was using to get the money. So he says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So these are, like I said, there are too many people coming in the name of the Lord. And like I said, they even talking about they got the apostolic mantle. You ain't got no mantle. I mean, that is dumb. There is no mantle. You're not Elijah and you're not Elisha. This is the New Testament church. They never talked about that. And ain't no anointing from another man. No, the Holy Ghost that came down from heaven, that's what we have received. And this is what Peter said in his book. And so if we stay with the word, we can't go wrong. And so that's why I thank God that I was, when I was taught, you that's what you do. So Peter says in 1 Peter 1 and 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied. So there it is right there, prophesied, of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of spirit, what manner of time, the spirit of Christ which is in them. He's talking about the prophets of old. Did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, because see that was back before Pentecost, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into, Peter goes on to say. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that's what it's all about. It's about the preaching of the gospel. So everybody's not preaching the same gospel. So John said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus came on the scene, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so that's why he was saying, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And so when you look at the word, he's talking about he's able of these stones to raise up children. He's not talking about no rocks on the ground. He's talking about the condition of the heart. Like he said, if these should hold their peace, the rocks would immediately cry out. And I said, you think about it, I was a rock. I wonder whose place did I take, because he's talking about the heart. So go back in the book of in the 95th Psalm. He was talking about them, you know, today, after so long a time, today, if you will hear his voice. And then he goes on and says, harden not your heart. Then so he even talks about that in the book of Hebrews, you know, they were hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What was hardened? Their heart, not the one beating in your chest, but it's the condition of the heart or the condition of the spirit. So sometimes the spirit and the heart is the self same thing. So in other words, it's the seat of your affection or the seat of your emotions or the spirit of your mind. It's all talking about the same thing, because the enemy gets your mind, he will possess you, you'll do what he says. That's why Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind and thy spirit, love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. So if you love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, it's saying the same thing. And love your neighbor as yourself. How can you go wrong? Because you ain't going to do nothing to hurt nobody else. And if you love him, you're going to consider love God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself and love yourself. So if you do all of that, you can't go wrong, because you're not going to do anything to someone else that you wouldn't want them to do to you. You're going to consider. So that's the problem with the whole world. It's not a gun problem. It's not a knife problem. It's not a sword problem. It's not a bomb problem. It's not running into folks with whatever you could get your hand on. And it's a heart. People's hearts are not right. Like Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So they don't want to come to the light, because lest their deeds should be reproved. So this is a warning. You got to, these folks, so they're not talking about the Lord. Their message is money. And they can't, they, you know, I mean, everything is relegated to money. Like, oh, you got to get, you. This is so important. No, it ain't. What's so important is God requires the tithe, which is the tenth, and a free will offering. So that, as far as money goes, and then your time, your talent, that's, you know, that's important. But not everybody just tying everything back to money, because 1 Timothy 6 and 10, Paul said, For the love of money is the root of all evil. So he goes on to say, which while some have coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So that's what people are doing. They are looking at temporal things. That's why Paul said, we're not looking at things that are temporal. The things which are seen are temporal. the things which are not seen are eternal. That's what we are focused on. So in other words, you need to get your soul right so you can get out of here, because the Lord is going to do a short work on the earth, and our life is a vapor that appears for a little while and vanish away. So we didn't come to stay here forever in these bodies. So we got to give account for the deeds that are done in these bodies. Our earthly house, our earthly tabernacle, it's going to be dissolved. We have a builder in heavens, not made with hands, you know, eternal in the heavens. So this is what the part of that scripture that I made mention of: things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. So that's what we have to build our hopes on. So there's nothing wrong with nice things, and who don't want nice things? But the point being is you can't make things your God. So that's why the songwriter says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. He says, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And the Lord said, himself said, what is the man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? And then he went on to answer with another question. And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So, you know, you look at things that are going on, and there are many people that left this life on this year, just like the Playboy man, Hugh Hefner. I mean, he lived a long time, but, hey, it's over. And so everybody, every knee's got to bow, every tongue is going to confess, everybody is going to give account for the deeds done in their body. Everybody's going to stand before God. So it doesn't matter what you did. It's what did you do? Did you do works meet for repentance? Did you repent? Did you get baptized in the name of Jesus? Did you receive the Holy Ghost? Were you born again? Did you receive the Holy Ghost since you believed before you got out of here? Were you born of water and of the Spirit before you got out of here? Is the most important thing. Because when you're born again, that's the earnest of your inheritance, when you receive the Holy Ghost. To your earnest of your inheritance, which is eternal life. So he said, hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confessed that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So we know we got all kind of things. These people getting offended over certain stuff. One thing about the Lord, you can talk about him all you want to us. And you can talk about us all you want. You can crucify him to us all you want with your words. That makes it going to be even more glorified. So it doesn't matter. We're not going to be offended. Oh my God, he said something about the prophet and all of that. Yeah. Say whatever you want. You're not going to stop him from being God. So that's why the Hebrew writer says, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. That's what we have to do when we're going through our wilderness experience. We got to consider him. So he did it. He gave his life for us. Not only did he give his life, but he got back up on the third day morning, just like he said he would, to die no more. So that's why Hebrew writer says that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's tempted in all points like it. So we, yet without sin. That's why he told us to come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But he said that he ever liveth, not forever, but he's in the office of the priesthood. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. So that's what he's doing. How is he doing that? He's interceding through people. Spirit itself maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. Spirit ain't just groaning by itself, but he's pleading and groaning through people. That's why he told us that we should always pray and not faint. And we don't know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. He which searches the mind of the Spirit, know what is the will of God, what is the mind of the Spirit according to the will of God. So sometimes we don't know what to say, but he understands those groanings which cannot be uttered. So he goes on, every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. So some people don't believe that he came in the flesh. So I'm told, like, I don't remember the exact time that it was, but Jerusalem was overthrown by General Titus, and they said that the soldiers went in and destroyed it, and he was saying not one stone is going to be left upon another. They destroyed that place. It was so much bloodshed, and then remember now, back in that day, they didn't have like what we have, the weaponry that we have. They had swords. So that's why I was talking about, he that liveth by the sword shall die by the sword, because that's what they had as far as weapons are concerned. So I'm told there was so much bloodshed that it would have even been, it was horrible. It was horrible, but it would have been even worse. But the soldiers got sick. It was so much bloodshed. So God's going to do that. He's not playing. The amount of slaughter, which we in the Hebrew tongue is called Armageddon. It's going to be bloodshed for over 200 miles up to the horse's bridles. You know how tall a horse is. God is going to, the day of the Lord, he's going to kill men who transgress against him, and it ain't going to take him long to do it. So he is not playing. Going to fight against them with the sword of his mouth. So that's why the Bible says he didn't call us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important to get into, excuse me, the Word of God. And so this is what he was saying to the church when he wrote at to the church, the Thessalonians at Thessalonica, about that he was letting them know that he didn't call us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. So that's to us also, written for our ammunition, that we might take heed. And so he was saying that this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. So this is even back then, as we're going through here. The spirit of Antichrist is nothing new. This has been going on. And so I remember when I can think back when I was in school, they used to talk about, because we know that we went to Sunday school, we heard about Adam and Eve. And then in school, you heard about the caveman. So that's a conflicting, what do you mean, caveman? What do you mean? Who was first, Adam and Eve or the caveman? So it's just ridiculous. That Antichrist spirit is a lie from the pit of hell, been working for a long time. So it's like they say, that's why St. Paul was saying about him being revealed at his time. He's talking about the son of perdition, the man of sin. So he was saying the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So it's been working. And that's what happened to Satan. He was anointed cherub that covereth, and he walked up and down in the midst of fire. When he walked, he was music. And so he didn't lose nothing that he had. And so God set him so. He was created. He created him perfect in wisdom and beauty. So he was saying, so he cast him out. The day that iniquity was found in him, that's when he cast him out. That's why the writer Isaiah cries out in the 14th chapter, how thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. So he was saying, you know, you said in your heart, I will do this. I will send into the north. I will be like the Most High. And he's letting him know, in conclusion, you are going to be brought down to hell. So God's word done went forth out of his mouth. Isaiah 55, as the rain cometh down from heaven and the snow cometh down from heaven to make the earth to bring forth and the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And he went on to say, use that analogy, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth not return unto me void, but it's going to accomplish the thing that I sent. And it's going to prosper in that which I please. So his word is going forth, as he also uttered the words, in righteousness. His word is going forth, and it's going to prosper in the thing that he sent it. Nobody is going to hinder it. So he was talking about Antichrist should come. It was already in the world, year of God. So remember now, he's writing to the children of God. That's why he calls us little children. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. He's talking about Antichrist, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So he said, they are of the world. Talking about who? Who's of the world? Antichrist. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world hear them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. So John says he's not talking about himself only, but he's also talking about the other apostles. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So he just described what the spirit of error is. It's Antichrist. All these people, you got all these people coming forth. They have no identity. Just like the parable of the man that got in to the wedding feast with no wedding garment on. How did you get in here? So these folks, you can't, that'd be like I used to work at General Motors. You could, if you snuck in, see, nowadays, back then, they didn't have all the security that they have. Well, they got turnstiles, they got electronic card readers, and those type of things, the turnstiles and all. You can't get in the facility. But back when I first got hired, you could get, you if you snuck in there and went to work, you can come in there and go to work all you want. You're not getting paid. You have no identity. They don't know who you are. You got to go through the process. You go through the process, then you will get a check every week. You will receive the benefits like everyone else, but you got to go through the process. You got to come in the door. That's what Jesus says. By me, if you come in, you can go out and find pasture. That's what he says. I'm the good shepherd. So you can't sneak in. You come in some other way. He says you're a thief and a robber. So people are just coming in. The devil is clever, because so-called religious people, and they're getting folks to follow them. They're getting people to listen to them, and they PayPal and they set up a PayPal account and telling people to sow into them and all that, which is ridiculous. It's still stupid. It's not biblical terminology. Now, if somebody give you an offering, it is, ain't no sow into you and you're going to be blessed. And, is you know, that is not the way God's plan. That's not God's financial plan. Doesn't work like that. People making it work, because that's what they're looking at, is the money that they're benefiting from other people. So, oh yeah, you know, you're going to be blessed. You sold into me. God's going to bless you. No, I'm not sowing into you. I don't know you. And that you don't sow into a man. You pay tithe at home. We were taught you pay tithe at home. So you need a home church. That's why the Bible says God setteth the solitary in families. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. So you got to understand, what the dry land is, a desert. In the desert there's no living water. So you set in a family. Psalm 68 and verse 6. God done that. God does that. So you're under the umbrella of a family of God. Just like I said at the beginning of this broadcast, where my new church is, because I relocated from Michigan to Florida. And so I'm in authority, under authority. So you're under authority, you got to be under someone's authority, and it was ordained by God, because it's not I, it's us, and it's we. And it's his church, the Lord Jesus Christ. So everybody else are in the local church. The pastor is the under-shepherd. Everybody else are helpers, be it ministry or whatever. You are helpers. And so we're workers together with God. As St. Paul said, he had to get the people on track, the Corinthians, the church that he started down in Corinth, which were a bunch of gifted people, but they needed order set in that church, in that city. And so that's the way God works. And so everybody should be saying the same thing. He said that too. Everybody speak the same thing, be of the same mind, perfectly joined together, of the same judgment. So 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, everybody should be saying the same thing, and everybody's not. So that's why I said these imposters, they're fakes. They're coming in using our identity. And so who have the gall to stand up to them? And so the thing is, what we have done as organization, they have bishops, they have district elders, which everyone that they have in organizational officers, the way they have it structured, you have to be a pastor, pretty much, to hold an office on the executive board or the bishop board or whatever. You pretty much have to be a pastor, so district elder. Then they created another office. You could be an elder, you're a pastor. And then you could district elder, and then they have they created another office which they call suffragan bishop, which is a helper to the other bishops. Than the bishop. But I say, of all the years I've been in church, I'm thinking, like, God is an eternal God. It's his church. It's always been a church in his mind. So we are not limited. God is not. I'll say, let me qualify that. God is not limited to just a body of people, an organization. But God got jewels he haven't showed off yet. So it doesn't matter. So just like this platform here, Blog Talk Radio, so you can have a platform. He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So just like we used to do when I did prison ministry, we knew, especially the women's prison, a particular women's ministry for 18 of the 20 years that I did prison ministry. So for the most part, very few men got out. As a matter of fact, I only knew of a couple that one, and then I know of another one got out some years later. But women were getting out because they had various levels, custody levels of people, time that they were doing in the prison, so they would be getting out. So what we would do is take our organizational minute book and see what area that they lived in, and we would tell them to go to a particular church in the area where they lived. And so that's what it's all about. You're trying to help, not trying to get them to come to our particular church. That might be 50 miles away. That's selfishness. The thing is that they get the salvation of God is the most important thing. But everybody wasn't even thinking like that. But anyway, we're talking about fellowship, and you don't have fellowship. You haven't done what he says. All of a sudden you rose up. We don't know who you are. And the very fact, those words that they're saying, they got a mantle, apostolic mantle and all that. No, you don't. Because if you got it, if you believe it, you would say it. And I totally believe that. My father in the gospel used to say, and it was the truth, you say what you believe. Some of these people, they don't want to offend nobody. They don't want to hurt nobody. But the gospel goes against the grain. When he was saying repent and do works meet for repentance, it wasn't no joke. And so I'm from the old school. I believe you haven't preached till you made them mad. People got to come out of sin. You can't be living in a fornicator and a liar and a pervert and all this stuff and still you going on to heaven and so glad. No, you ain't either. God came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to change us, to change our heart, take away that stony heart, give you a heart of flesh. So do his will. That's why Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. God's going to bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So so rejoice, young man, and walk in the ways of your heart. Do all the things that are on your mind. The writer says in Ecclesiastes, Solomon, he says, but know ye that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. So you want your judgment to be now. So judgment begins at the house of God when you get saved. So that is why we're able to be, we're looking in the perfect law of liberty. We're looking at are searching ourselves, examining ourselves, whether we be in the faith. We're doing this every day and every week as we get in the Word, as we watch our heart, as we keep our heart with all diligence, look at ourselves, look in the mirror, which is the Word of God, because these antichrists are in the world. So he goes on, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So we got to do what he said. This was manifest the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation, the propitiation for our sins. So the thing is, they don't understand the oneness. There's no two, but he came in the person of Jesus Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the Christ. He was the anointed one. So he took on a body so that he could shed his blood. He could lay down his life. And so he's still in the office of sonship. So Israel's going to see him. Zechariah 12 and 10, they're going to look upon him. He says, they're going to look upon me whom they have pierced. This is in the Old Testament. You know, they're going to mourn. As one mourn for their only son. They're going to be in bitterness. They're going to realize, like the writer says in the Zechariah, they're going to see the handprints in his hand. When did you get those wounds in his hand and his feet? He's going to say, he's going to let them know, I was wounded in the house of my friends. So it's going to be, it's not going to be a joke. I mean, beautiful story of Jesus. The song says, I tell it everywhere I go. The songwriter goes on to say, but oh, it's not just a story. It is an actual event that happened. So it's no joke. So the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. So the Jews seek after a sign, and the Greeks after wisdom. But he goes on to say, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So we know he was in that body. So he came into the world that he made. So no man has seen God at any time. So he's talking about God in all his glory. So if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So we have to understand biblical terminology, because Moses wanted to see him. And so he was saying, I beseech thee. In other words, I beg you, show me thy glory. This is in the 33rd chapter of Exodus. So he's saying, I'll pass by you. You can see my hinder parts. No man shall see my face and live. I'm going to put you in a rock, cliff of the rock. I'll pass by. So, and then he went on to say, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. So they say he saw Jesus Christ. So he saw the Son of God. So, but God is great, Job says, and we know him not. Neither can the number of his years be searched out. And so this is who we're talking about. And so that's what the whole message is about, the love of God that he had for us, because he loved us so much, because he doesn't want us to be lost, because hell wasn't made for man, Matthew 25 and 41, but hell was created for the devil and his angels. But people are going there, men are going there. It doesn't matter, you know, how they say man or woman or boy or girl. They say a woman is a man. We're mankind. A woman has a womb. That's why Adam said, you shall be called woe man, because you came out of man. So they're different. So the man wasn't made for woman. Woman was made for the man. And God did that. So that's why the Bible says there's one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So he took on a body because he loved us so much, and he's not going to die again. That's why the Hebrew writer says, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. In other words, he's not going back to Calvary. He already done that. Once at the end of the world, he appeared in the presence of God to put away sin. The Hebrew writer says, by the sacrifice of himself. So it is finished, the redemptive work. Offered up the blood, he ascended up on high, led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. That's why the writer says, he that descended is the same that ascended. He that ascended up, descended into the lower parts, is the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So listen to that terminology. I asked a question. How far is far above all heavens, that he might fill all things? Who could do that? Nobody can do that but the Lord himself. So herein is our word, our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is in this, as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So we can't believe everything. So listen to what people are saying. Get their identity. So just like they say, the author, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. It's so important to identify who you are to begin with. And then, you proceed from there. But you got to identify yourself. So he was saying, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So John asks this question. This is the commandment that this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother. So we thank God for this. So to have fellowship, you got to have the same thing in common. So, and that is, you must be born again. So you're going to be talking about the same thing when you have fellowship. So that's what they did. They had fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. The apostles, that's what they done. So fellowship is not just eating. Fellowship, it's, you got the people that are together, they got the same things in common. And so when you have worship, that's not fellowship totally. You're worshiping. But it's kind of intertwined, because you got to have the same things in common, because when you worship the Father, you got to worship him in spirit and in truth. So this is why this is written, that you would only believe. So we thank God for the word on this particular time. So thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Now the subject is God. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And I ask you the question that I always ask. Think on this. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? God bless you. We'll talk to you on next time.